The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch.
Okay, here we are.
We're going to do part two of donkey training and this donkey school stuff. I love it. This is great.
So I think it helps you to understand your mule a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
Because donkeys are so drastically, seemingly slow about responding, and then they're so stoic about it. When you go to get on, you think, oh, yeah, we're all ready to go. They lead you down a path.
There you go.
Not the right one. Yeah, they're leading you down a path where they can get rid of you anytime they want to, you know?
That's what I love about this whole thing about mules and donkeys. Oh, they keep me laughing.
They do. And that's probably the most endearing thing about mules and donkeys is their sense of humor. I had a lady call me this week and she was down in the dumps because she thought, oh, my mule's not doing what I want her to do. And I just must be doing something wrong. And we talked for a while and she goes, do your mules do? And it describes something, and I just started laughing. I said, oh, she's playing games with you. She goes, do they do that? Of course they do. You know, oh, I'm so glad to talk to you. Now I don't feel so stupid. The people on the trail ride were saying, if I didn't do this and I didn't do that, then I was not doing things right, and my mule was taking advantage of me. I said, nah, she was just playing with you. So it's kind of like that, you know? And if you keep this good sense of humor about you, and you're willing to be patient and take the time to really break these things down into tiny, tiny steps, then it's all going to go better. And as we spoke in part one of this series, we took all of part one just to describe the groundwork, which will take 3 to 6 months. If you go through it all, and the 3 to 6 months, I say 3 to 6 months because a lot of mules and horses can get through it in 3 months. But because the donkey has to do so much thinking, he's more along the lines of 6 months. And it's not because he doesn't learn how to do something. He just needs the time to think about whether he really wants to do it or not.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. And it takes that long to convince them that, yeah, it's more fun to be with me than just out in the pasture with your head down with a bunch of fools out in the pasture eating grass, you know.
Right.
And eventually, donkeys will come to that conclusion if you give them the opportunity. Otherwise, you might feel yourself being set up with a disobedient donkey, and you'll blame it on them.
Yeah.
But it won't be their fault.
Right.
You know, they have an opportunity and to do these things with you, but if you don't approach them the right way, and if you aren't patient and respectful about the way you're training, then you may find yourself being set up to be unloaded if you're riding, or run away with a cart, any of those dangerous things, because they will just very soon get sick of being with you because it's not fun anymore. You know, so I'd rather keep things fun with good humor and not really overwhelming you or them.
Right.
This is why a lot of people feel like they can't train, but they're thinking of it in the wrong terms. Anybody can train their equine. They just need to learn to find somebody like me, I might say, say that very humbly, but who has really researched this enough to know what all of those little steps are so that you don't overwhelm yourself at any given stage, and you don't overwhelm your animal at any given stage, and you can move along together and get in sync with each other and really have a good time doing it, and at the same time conditioning yourself to be top performers, because that's the end result of all of this. I don't profess to train barrel horses or barrel mules or Western pleasure or anything like that. what all these exercises are for is so at the end of all of it, you will be able to do anything that you choose to do with your mule or your donkey or your horse or your pony, because you've got the right kind of foundation on them and it's solid. It's that building of postural core strength, where they learn to move in good posture, to use their bodies the way it was designed to be used, that it's supported by ligaments, tendons, muscles, and even connective tissue and cartilage that causes the bones to move correctly, so they can do any kind of movement that you ask for, which gives them maximum versatility and you maximum choice of what you want to do. And they'll be able to do all of it. But you got to spend the time at the front during all this groundwork to do it correctly so that they're keeping equal weight over all 4 feet. They're keeping their body erect. They're bending to arcs and turns through the torso and not just falling over like a motorcycle does. People start them in the round pen, but that's exactly the wrong place to start them. And I think that's why a lot of the trainers say training in the round pen is so dangerous. Because if you don't do this groundwork that I'm talking about, that I told you about in part one, where you're actually teaching them how to move and building their bodies the right way to move the right way, then yes, they do get in the round pen, and it's dangerous for them because they will move out of good posture and create sorenesses and pressure points in their body and put too much weight on one side, not enough on the other, moving erratically and everything, which only tears their bodies to pieces. But if you spend this maximum of 2 years doing this kind of groundwork, then you're going to gain 10 years of use life on the other end, and they're going to live longer. They're going to gain about 10 years of longevity. It really is important to go ahead and do this kind of work this way. Spend the time to do it, and not only do you end up with an animal that's conditioned properly and is strong in his body and beautiful in his movement, smooth, fluid, regular cadence and rhythm, it's going to be fun for both of you, because then you can decide to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Because as I said before, the thing that upsets equines more than anything is a loss of balance. And it gets even more dangerous. It's dangerous when you're riding them and they lose their balance and they run off with you.
Sure.
And they bolt and run.
Yeah.
But it's even more dangerous if they're in harness and pulling a vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And if you take the time to go through all this, then they'll be able to do everything calmly, effectively, and they won't get flapped over it. And any kind of anxiety or resistance is going to be kept to a minimum, if any at all. I mean, I've had animals that had tension from, you know, me doing some of the things that other trainers thought were the things I should have done. But all the animals, since I've learned about going slow and doing this way, I mean, I got 12 of them out there right now that are all over 30 years old that are still useful riding animals and very responsive, totally broke, totally calm, relaxed in their bodies, always want to go do whatever with me. All I got to do is call them, and they all run to the gate and go, take me, take me. And we have a good time together.
Right.
You know, no big deal. So, yeah, it's definitely worth it to put the time in here and get these things done. So what we're going to talk about is by walking your donkey through all these different phases of training, and before going on to the trot, you have given yourself and your donkey an opportunity to learn to negotiate and perfect your movements before you ask for speed. This allows for more perfection of coordination to take place, so things are less likely to fall apart when you do add a little speed. This is the most obvious difference between mules or horses and donkeys. Horses and mules are difficult to slow down in training because of their flight instinct and are better equipped to handle walk, trot, canter all at once, moving from a confined area to more space and ultimately through obstacles. Donkeys, however, with their freeze instinct, get worried and they won't move if they're overwhelmed and confused. And for this reason, their training is approached a little bit differently. By now, your donkey should be walking really well in the round pen, both lunging and in the drive lines on straightaways and turning. He should be walking the hourglass pattern and the perimeter of the wall of the arena and crossing straight diagonals for changes of direction. He should be walking through straightforward obstacles and getting in and out of your trailer easily. He should be moving away from pressure a lot more easily through the turns on the forehand and haunches while on the lead line. Now, in terms of the trailer, what you might not think about with a donkey is that same old thing. The donkey is reluctant to get into the trailer because it puts him in an awkward position and he's out of balance and he feels vulnerable. Mm. And donkeys will always balk when that happens. However, if you take and use my approach of using a lunge line tied to their halter, not with a snap, run to the front of the trailer and then brought back to the behind, and just keep the tension on that line and wait for them to offer the step up into the trailer, knowing there are oats in the bin at the front when they get there. You always have those waiting for them there, and you don't give them any while you're behind. They've got to get in the trailer to get that reward. When you do that repetitively and routinely, pretty soon they just walk right in. So, but forcing them will only create resistance, and you want to avoid that at all costs with a donkey. So you're going to go ahead and review his turn on the haunches, turn on the forehand, both while he's on the lead rope, while he's in the drive lines, while he's in the round pen, while he's in the open, and just give him a complete review of that, and then you can go ahead and get on. Once he's learned all this, turn on the haunches and everything in the round pen, the lead rope, and then on the drive lines, then you can think about perfecting it a little bit more while you're under saddle in the open arena in the hourglass pattern. You can have more variation of the things that he's already learned instead of just going right through the pattern. You can go through the pattern on one side and create one half of the hourglass and then go down the long side and do a reverse or turn on the haunches and go double back the other way and then do the serpentine through the pattern, which is what this is, the serpentine going back the other way. And doing these variations on the pattern will give him more versatility and will cause him to be more reactive to your cues. Because once he learns these patterns, it is easy for an animal to get pattern trained. And so if he's just doing the hourglass pattern all the time, first on the lead rope, then on the drive lines, then under saddle, the same way every time, then he's going to get bored with it and he's going to start anticipating. This is something that we were always talking about before. Don't pattern train your animal because then they'll anticipate. Well, that's if you think about it mentally. If you think about it from a body standpoint and conditioning the body, you need to pattern train them so that you're not always interfering with the symmetrical development of the core elements. They need to be able to know the pattern, feel comfortable with the pattern, and then you can guide them through the pattern, and each time they will get better and better and better. But eventually they will get pattern trained and they will start anticipating things. And so you want to keep things light and airy, but you want to keep reinforcing all the things that they've learned thus far. So this is why you will actually use the hourglass pattern in a lot of different ways now, so that you can enhance the things that they've learned. Now, in the last part of part one, we learned to put them on the drive lines and do circles around the cones. And we also would learn how to come off those circles and begin leg yields on the drive lines with the help of an assistant. So now that we're under saddle, we want to perfect the leg yield from his back. And in the beginning, those cues that you're going to give him are going to be a little awkward. And you're going to have to think, I need to give these cues with my seat and minimize rein pressure and minimize leg pressure when we start going laterally. So you will use your circles, but you will also use centrifugal force to come off those circles. And at first, you're going to go from a corner cone in your arena down across the diagonal using this concept of just kind of moving over off your leg, and don't just turn them into the diagonal. You will turn them into the diagonal the first time you cross the diagonal, and maybe even two or three times. But then eventually what you want to do is go ahead and take a circle at that cone and come off that diagonal and try to keep them as straight as you can while they leg yield sideways. And at first, they're not going to be able to do the whole length of the diagonal. So it would be better to just come off a corner cone diagonally to the center cones and then go straight through the hourglass pattern the way he has learned it. So that he's going, oh, well, we did a circle around the cone and it felt like we were going a little sideways. And we kept going sideways for a while. But then we got to the middle. And then we went straight and we did a circle there that was just a straightforward circle. And then straightforward to the next corner cone and another circle. So you don't do it too often, but you throw in a couple of lateral moves. And I've got diagrams in a lot of these articles that I have that coincide with the ground driving diagrams that you will do. And now we're just going to practice them under saddle. And it will be a constant thing, just like it was in part one, of starting to accept a couple of steps. And maybe you don't make the circle around and then drift sideways to the middle. You might only drift two steps sideways, and then he's going to want to turn and go straight. But when he does that, then you can just go, whoa, after a couple of steps of sideways, just go, whoa. And he'll stop, and then you lean over, and you give him some oats. You go, yeah, that's what I want. And then next time you do a circle and try to stay sideways, he might give you three steps or four steps. And so that's what you do. You just break it down that way. You reinforce it. When he's under saddle, it's a little easier to reinforce it with your legs for him to move sideways, but he can become very discombobulated in the reins because the reins, you're supposed to lead with the rein in the direction of travel, but his body in a leg yield is bent the opposite way. So he's going to go, well, why are you pulling on my head this way when you got me cocked the other way? So the reins can get in the way. And for this reason, you want to go ahead and introduce him to rein cues by doing these exercises in the ground driving instead of doing it under saddle. As you could, you'll be able to see the picture of my donkey as he's going along the rail and then asked to do a turn on the haunches. The leading rein is the right rein, but he's overbending his head, and he's still not on the pivot foot as he's going around. But he's going, what is this? Yeah, this is a new move. It's actually not a new move, but he's not on the drive line, so he doesn't get it.
Oh, okay.
So this is why he's all twisted. So if you're going to be bouncing back and forth under saddle and back to the drive lines with the assistant, without the assistant. And remember, we use the assistant's body language to help the animal be directed so that you don't have to give as much direction through the reins and your legs. And you can keep things really light and then start thinking about moving more from your seat to speed him up, to slow him down. You lighten your seat to speed him up. You deepen your seat to slow him down. You go alternate pressure forward to get him to go forward. Alternate pressure backwards from your seat to get him to back up. So this gives you a time that you can go ahead and let him have more responsibility for the things that you're doing. And then when you're teaching him to turn right and left, now it's more important than ever to start using G and Ha for right and left, so that you can stay off your reins.
Okay?
Yeah. So you will be going down the rail, coming out of that hourglass pattern, and maybe you want to double back and do a reverse on the rail. Like in this one, he's doing G. He was going down the rail, tracking left, but now I slowed him down and did a turn on the haunches to go back. And so what I'm doing is I'm turning him with pressure from my leg, but not much on the other side. A little bit of pressure from my little finger to turn his head in the direction of travel. But I'm saying G, and saying G means right. Go right. We're changing directions. Go right. And so you wanted to teach him how to do that. And then you can go on the rail like that, and you can do something like going along the rail and then go, okay, and reverse G, and then go G, 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 until you get back to the rail again, and you will have done a 360-degree turn with the pivot foot on the haunches just by telling him G, but keeping all of your aids very, very light. And as he learns what that G and A means, you can do that along the rail. You can get out into the open where you had those halts, and you can even be walking along, and you'll start at the walk and go around the two cones on the short end and come down between the cone, the corner cone and the gate cones, or the ones in the middle, that's what I call them. And instead of halting, you go G around. G around. In this case, if you're going track and left, then you go ha around, ha around, ha around, come back to the same place you were, and then continue on to the gate. You can do that on the drive lines. You can do it under saddle. But now, when you're doing that in those points where he halted, and instead you're not stopping, but you're going, you're creating the beginning of a reining spin. You're teaching him how to keep the right balance over that turn throughout a 360 turn. You have not done that before, but you're going to teach it in pieces. And if he only does a couple steps, then you stop him, give him a reward, then ask him to keep going forward and around a little bit more. If he gives you two more steps, stop him, give him a reward until he's completed the circle. And that's to say to him, this was the whole task, but we had to do it in pieces, just like we do everything in pieces. Now, in dressage, they have what's called a canter pirouette, where they do not plant the pivot foot. What they do is they canter around in a 360, and that is a correct dressage pirouette. A correct reining spin, you plant the pivot foot, but you want your donkey or your mule to know all the steps involved and when you're asking for a canter pirouette and when you're asking for a reining spin. And you're going to do that through your seat, but you're not going to be able to do it through your seat right away, because you got to get all these components together and know what they feel like in your body and his. And he's doing the same thing underneath you or in front of you if you're on the drive lines. So just have patience and he'll eventually get it. When he's getting fairly well at executing his turns on the haunches and turns on the forehands on the drive lines, you can progress to doing them under saddle. Just remember to keep things slow and accurate. Speed will only bring confusion and resistance at this point. It's best to opt for perfection at a slower and more controlled pace. When you're both more practiced and coordinated, you can add speed. Your donkey should be willing to trot in the round pen with just his tack. Up to this point, he's learned his turns on the walk, at the walk, both on the drive lines and under saddle, in the round pen, in open arena, over obstacles. Now he'll learn to trot on the drive lines and under saddle, beginning with the usual review. Then, after he's lunged at the trot, put him on the drive lines and drive him at the trot. If he gets bulky, your assistant can trot ahead of him with the treat bag and no lead line initially. If he goes too fast, then just slow him down easily by giving the command to whoa and create a drag on the lines. Alternate pressure, squeeze, release. And your assistant can help if necessary by getting a little ahead of him, same way she did in part one. You're using all of these little tips that I've given you to control him, hopefully mostly without the reins and without the legs, only with minimal pressure from there. And when you're on him, you're going to be directing him from your seat. And you'll use your reins on the ground driving, but you want to keep in mind that you want to keep getting it lighter and lighter and lighter, and use an assistant if he's starting to run through those drive lines, because you have to realize that he is only going to get confused if at first you're trying to keep things light on the reins, and then all of a sudden you start pulling on the reins.
Right.
He's just going to look at you and go, yeah. Well, make up your mind. What is it? You know, are you going to pull or are you going to let me go? So your assistant can always back up whatever you're trying to do by using her body language and by carrying the whip and by positioning herself in the right places when you're asking your donkey to do these things. And he's learning the language at the same time through your hands on the drive lines and through your seat when you're riding. He needs to learn not to just bully his way forward and out of a difficult situation. If there's a problem, most donkeys will attempt to evacuate the scene in slow-mo. It is better to teach them right from the beginning to stop and wait. And they're perfectly willing to do that because of their stop and freeze instinct. So if you don't aggravate them, they won't run off. They'll stop. So when he trots real well in the round pen, you can begin to add trot to your sessions in the open. Always review first and add the new movement at the end of his lesson. Always add the new one at the end of the lesson. After the review, begin by having him trot through the hourglass pattern on the drive lines with your assistant, then without. So just, it'll be shaky at first, and you may feel like you're riding a drunken sailor if you're riding, or driving a drunken sailor if you're driving. Just be sure to make your rein and leg cues as subtle as possible to prevent overreaction and keep him encouraged forward with a loose rein as he's going forward. Learn to vibrate the reins rather than pulling. This helps minimize overreactions. Soon your donkey will be doing the pattern smoothly on your commands alone. When he has learned the pattern well, he can progress to the perimeter of the arena at the trot. Do this only after he is going well in the pattern, or you may find the pattern impossible after he learns to trot on the perimeter. After he's learned to trot smoothly and obediently without interruption, you can vary both of these exercises by walking part of the pattern, then trotting some of it, then walking again. Do the same on the perimeter of the arena. It's best to walk the short sections and trot the long ones. In other words, walk the short sides and trot the long sides. Later on, he'll be learning to lengthen his trot on the long sides after trotting the short sides. So using the trot on the obstacle course requires that you be very definite about where and when you do it, so plan ahead. You want to space your obstacles apart so that you can trot in between them. Don't put them all so close together that you got to go from one to the next without any stops in between. And you do want stops in between, and there's usually plenty of room to do that. But you want to put it together so that he can trot over the spaces between the obstacles, Or you may want to plan it so you can trot straight over the ground poles or a tarp, but he needs to be willing to stop immediately on the other side. So plan on doing that. Also, understand that your ground rails are going to have to be increased in distance between them when you're trotting them. So you can't just walk to one time and trot the next. Plan, are you going to be trotting the ground poles this day, and space them accordingly, because you don't want to have to be getting on and off and doing that. The other thing that's helpful too is to strategically place your obstacles in your arena so that you don't have to keep changing things around to do all of these things. Now, in one of my articles, I do lay out the plan for you to go ahead and lay your obstacles into the hourglass pattern so that it doesn't interfere with you if you're riding the hourglass pattern. It doesn't interfere if you're riding the hourglass pattern down one side and going straight down the arena on the long side to add that, or on the short sides. And I do that by putting the obstacles on the fence side, on the arena fence side of the gate cones. This gives you enough room to put a couple of obstacles down that side and still leave the long side of the arena open. So if you decide to go down there, you can do that. So if your arena is big enough, you can put all your tires, your poles, your tarp, and the tractor tire even, for all the work you want to do. You could get them all into one arena and not have to move anything around to change from one task to another. And it may be that you want to come out one day and you warm up in the hourglass pattern under saddle, because now you're under saddle. And the other thing is you're not going to be rewarding all the time when you're under saddle. They've learned all the moves that you're going to be doing, basically. So I generally will just go ahead and have them stand still while I mount, and I'll go ahead and get on. Then I'll give them their oats reward from both sides so that they're paying attention and they're standing still and not just moving off. Then I'll ask them to go ahead and move off into the hourglass pattern. And if they do that a little bit quickly, then I will take a circle on the cone. The first cone I come to, I'll take a circle, because I'd rather take a small circle on the cone than pull on the reins. And this will slow them down. So you're going to use all these pieces while you're on, while you're riding, to go ahead and slow them without pulling on those reins and get them to go with your seat, by just shifting your seat forward and lighter, and they'll learn to speed up, and you just shift it deeper in the saddle and sit deep and stop moving if you want them to halt, and keep the lighten up the seat just a hair, and then just start pedaling backwards with your seat and try to really minimize rein and leg cues. And this will get them moving in sync with you, and it will also get them to learn to be willing to stop and wait for your next command for however long it takes. They'll just settle in the halt and wait for you to say something. And this way, they don't get all anxious and start prancing around. And this is the foundation for learning to stand quietly, both in harness and under saddle. This means that you, too, must learn to approach him slowly and quietly from behind while in the drive lines, and to sit quietly when halted under saddle until you present his reward and ask him to move on. Then he doesn't get all anxious waiting for abrupt commands.
Right.
A lot of us get involved in abrupt commands, and this just makes them anxious mm-hmm. and tense, and then we get overreactions. So there's a lot you can do. You can help him with his backing through straight backup poles. So he can walk into the poles and back up through the poles. And if they're straight poles, they're going to help him to learn to back straight, even though your cues are alternate pressure on each side. He might overreact if the poles weren't there, but this is just another way to enhance and finesse your cues and his movements when you give him those cues. You can even add an angled backwards thing so he gets a couple of different things he has to do. So he can walk forward straight, then at the angle, turn, and go to the end of the angle. And then he has to come back straight, move his haunches over for the new angle, and then back straight again. While he's doing that, you're just lightly giving leg pressure and giving the right cues to direct him and keep his front end straight while he's doing it, leading a little to one side while he angles his haunches to the other side. There are a lot of minute little things that happen in these obstacles as far as your cues are concerned when you're primarily riding from your seat. And you can use your assistant from behind with the driving whip, and then without the assistant, ground drive and walk with the assistant, and then without the assistant, ride at the walk with the assistant, then without the assistant, finally ground drive and ride at the trot with the assistant, and then without the assistant. The donkey is an animal that was born for no other purpose than to serve. If he understands what you are trying to convey, he has the innate desire to please. Remember this and be patient with your donkey. Each individual learns at his own pace, but rest assured he will never forget what he has learned.
I've learned a lot about donkeys today. Very cool, Meredith. Well, it's lunchtime.
It is. You have a great rest of the day, Cindy.
Meredith's website is lucky3ranch.com, and you can call her at 1-800-816-7566. And I can be reached through my website, everycowgirlsdream.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.